VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today, a very important program as we talk about this COVID-19 shot. Can it be mandated? It's happening all over the country. I mean, there are colleges, there are universities that are mandating the COVID-19 shot in order to attend classes on campus, in order to retain a job. Matter of fact, there are job postings across this nation revealing that there are many employers that are requiring job applicants to get the jab or promise to get the jab within 30 days of hire. And there are employers that putting out mandates to their employees, regardless if they've worked for decades for them or not, that are mandating the COVID-19 shot. What's a person to do who has a medical concern or a conscientious concern or a religious concern about taking the shot, which is being called a vaccination? There are individuals whose right now their livelihood is weighing in the balance. Do I not take this and then forfeit my job, my livelihood, the support for my wife, my children? What do I do? Well, addressing this issue with us today on Crosstalk, we welcome Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Matt, yesterday, internal source from Cleveland Cliffs, which is involved in mining and in steel product innovation, made us aware of a message that went out from their chairman, president, and CEO. And I'd like to share this. And this is just a microcosm of what's happening across the nation. This was a message from Lorenko Goncalves, the CEO of Cleveland Cliffs, and it says this: we have managed through the last 14 months with many of our employees working remotely, but that is not a situation we can keep forever. We are a team, and teammates need to be together in order to deliver all the results we must deliver. That being said, it's time to reopen our offices and go back to working together. COVID-19 vaccinations are now available to all adults in the United States. Vaccines are effective in eliminating the risk of health from COVID-19, and the side effects of the vaccine are a lot less problematic than death by COVID. I know that, and you know that. We all need to be vaccinated so we can safely work together. On top of that, vaccinated people should not be exposed to non-vaccinated people. As the CEO of Cleveland Cliffs, I want you to know that it is my expectation that every employee in this great company will get vaccinated as soon as possible. If there is a reason you cannot get the vaccine, please let your HR department know. You still will not be allowed back in the office, but we will do our best to understand your reason. But one more time, it is my expectation, and this is bold and underlined, that you are vaccinated and you will be back with us. We're tracking employee vaccinations through our online tool, accessible here. Please update the tool when you've been vaccinated. If you're having an issue scheduling a vaccine, please contact your local HR department for assistance. I need you back, but you will only be allowed back in the office after you are vaccinated. That's signed by the chairman, president, and CEO. And Matt, we know that this is the type of thing that is going out to people in various jobs across the nation. Your response?
This is a real problem, and it's happening across the board, and it's like a tidal wave. It's kind of like, it reminds me of what happened when we got so many calls and we were inundated by pastors and churches when these COVID restrictions continued to go on. Now we're getting that same kind of crescendo of calls and concerns and emails regarding people's employment and also the schools. It's happening across the country with regards to public schools, private schools, employers. We know, for example, someone that we're working with, been an employee for a couple of decades, lost his job because he did not want to get the injection. We also have been working and still are working with a student who is in nursing, and she's at the point where she's finishing up her career education, but she's now being told you can't continue unless you get the injection. Now, she is pregnant, and we already know that there's adverse reactions reported with regards to miscarriages and other kinds of situations, so she doesn't want to put herself or her baby at risk. and now she's told she can't finish her education. We've pushed back against the LSU Dental School or School of Dentistry. They sent out an email on a Tuesday saying everyone had to be at least with the first shot by the following Monday. We pushed back and pointed out the federal law, the emergency use authorization, and that says that it has to be full informed consent. You cannot coerce, and we also pointed out some of the state law. They backed down. Same thing happened with a public school in Illinois. They demanded everybody had to get injected, including the student, staff, and faculty. We sent a demand letter. They backed down. We can talk a little bit about what happened just recently that resolved last night and early this morning in Troy, Michigan, with some children that couldn't see their mom, who did not have COVID. I'll give more details about that. Finally, that backed down. But it's kind of like, you know, the old proverbial finger in the dike. It's happening all over the place, and it's a real serious problem that we're facing, and we have to push back against this because it's a serious threat to freedom.
Indeed, and the internal source also in this particular case said that this from the CEO of Cleveland Cliffs to all management employees, followed up with in-person clarification from the general manager, United Taconite Mine, with a statement, your continued employment is contingent upon you being fully vaccinated. At the Tilden Mine in Michigan, they were told that they were not fully vaccinated by mid-June, there would be no longer be allowed on the property. A similar message was personally delivered directly to workers at the Hibbing Taconite and North Shore mines in northern Minnesota. And this is, again, this is one corporation in this. You said it's being hit like a tidal wave.
Yeah.
But, Matt, I understand, isn't this still declared to be an emergency use vaccine? I mean, it's not gone through the trials, the tests, and the hurdles.
Yes, it is. And, you know, this one message that you were reading from, it's very interesting. I want to elaborate on this a little bit later where it says, on top of that, vaccinated people should not be exposed to non-vaccinated people. Segregation between people because of their vaccination status. In reality, that concern is actually probably one of reversal, and I want to expand on that later in the program. But yes, right now, you know, typical vaccines take at least 10 years from development to deployment, 5 years of which is dedicated to specific testing. First on animals, then on all the different categories of people. And then finally it goes through with all that data, it gets presented to the FDA, and if it is both safe and effective, safety and efficacy are concerns obviously, then it becomes licensed. What happened with these particular injections, all of them that we have in the United States, and we have three right now, COVID, vaccine, the COVID approval is Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
All of those have been developed and deployed in less than 1 year, in less than 12 months. I mean, that's just unheard of. Now, you can applaud that as progress, but with that is some real concern. That's why it's under the emergency use authorization. Why? Because they're experimental. The experimentation and the data collection is ongoing as we speak. Everyone who is part of that, the general public now that's getting it, because it's no longer just individuals that are signing up to be, you know, part of a clinical trial, it's the general public. All of that data is still coming in, and it's still too early to know whether these can be licensed, because it's going to take months, and it takes years, frankly, to determine the adverse effects of some of these injections. In fact, we know that on one of the previous influenza vaccines, it took 2 to 3 years for it to show up as having adverse reactions in certain people.
And Matt, and let's capitalize on that for a moment, that topic here of adverse reactions, because every night as you watch your late night newscast, you're seeing, okay, this many people got the injection here today. This, and you keep, I'm tired of seeing ad nauseum these needles going into people's arms. But as far as showing this, but every night we get, you know, here's the new rate of people, but they're not talking about the adverse effects. Now, there are stories that are abounding all across this nation. I just saw the NC Daily Gazette. I believe it's North Carolina, recently told of a new study that claims the Pfizer vaccine causes Alzheimer's. A LifeSiteNews.com report of a 35-year-old woman who died of a brain hemorrhage just 11 days after receiving the J&J vaccine. Thousands of reports of menstrual irregularities, reproductive dysfunction, not to mention the blood clots and all the other issues, the intense shaking that some have experienced. And Matt, I just went earlier today to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention site. This is a CDC, and they have a section called the Selected Adverse Effects Reported After COVID-19 Vaccination. And what they report here is that over 245 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines were administered. I'm reading verbatim. Were administered in the United States from December 14th, 2020 through May 3rd, 2021. During this time, VAERS received 4,178 reports of death, 0.0017%, among people who received a COVID-19 vaccine. CDC and FDA physicians review each case report of death as soon as notified, and CDC requests medical records to further access reports. A review of available clinical information, including death certificates, autopsy, and medical records, revealed no evidence that vaccination contributed to patient deaths. CDC and FDA will continue to investigate reports of adverse events, including deaths reported to VAERS. I don't know how to take the number. How can they say that they've examined all these and no connection to the vaccine, what they call a vaccine whatsoever, but 4,178 deaths?
Well, here's something to add to that. The Harvard study, as well as the CDC, says that historically less than 1% of all deaths and adverse reactions are reported on the CDC VAERS site, less than 1%. That means that if this is following the historic trend, 99% more adverse reactions and deaths are actually taking place in reality. Give them the benefit of the doubt, 90% more. In other words, it's at least 90% underreported. So take any one of these numbers, and then you multiply them by 90%, and that's really what your reality is going to be. For example, I looked at it from 1 week to the next, just in the last week and a half. It jumped by 500 or over 400, nearly 500 deaths in 1 week. That's 51.1 deaths per day for that 7-day period. And the miscarriages jumped as well, so that there were 5 miscarriages, brand new miscarriages, reported every single day in that 1 week. Five of them. And then the adverse reactions jumped from 86,000 to 118,000. So that's just in 1 week. And now we're into this new week, and it's going to jump by that many more again. And again, it's underreported. In fact, I have a video that we have on our website, and it's 3 nurses. All of them are very pro-vaccine. All of them have decades of experience in nursing, and they've all gotten all the injections of vaccines to now. They got the vaccines early because they wanted to be early on it, and they got them in January. All 3 of them, and many more like them, immediately had these violent shaking episodes. All 3 of these that were on this interview are now disabled. They've lost their job, and they can't work, and they have this violent shaking episode, all of which occurred after. One of them called Moderna and said, "Do you know anything about this?" "Oh, we have never heard about it." Well, now they've been in contact with someone just like them who was in the Moderna trials, who now is disabled because of that Moderna injection.
Matt Staver with us here today on Crosstalk. Folks, some critical information we're discussing today. You need to know this information. It's not being covered by your nightly news, but it's information you need to know. We'll be back with more after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are evolutionists still looking for the missing link?
Actually, Chris, missing links are everywhere in the fossil record. Now, evolutionists say that all animals came from a common ancestor. Yet these ancestors are missing, and the links between any two basic categories are missing. Missing links are still missing. Evolutionists used to admit that the missing links were a problem, but now they seem just to have stopped talking about them. They now propose the concept of punctuated equilibrium, which says that evolution went in spurts in the past. It went so fast that it left no transitional forms. I think the missing links will forever be missing because they never existed. God created each basic category as that category. They may have adapted to different conditions, but the basic categories got here separately. They were created back in Genesis.
For more on Genesis, visit us on the web at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver is with us, the chairman and founder of Liberty Council. Their website, lc.org, lc.org. Matt, many people are asking, can a COVID-19 shot be mandated? Can it be mandated? Is there constitutional protection for individuals?
Well, there's two different ways to look at that. First of all, it can't be mandated based upon the federal law, the emergency use authorization. Any drug, or in this case of, you know, what's being called a vaccine, all of which are experimental and none of which are FDA licensed, is being done under the emergency use authorization federal law. That federal law specifically states that you must have full and informed consent regarding all of the adverse or potential adverse reactions, and you can't be coerced. So that's pure and simple, a federal law. That is because this is still experimental. That's because they've authorized it only because of the emergency, and they don't have the data, and they already know that there's some obvious adverse side effects. Those are listed on the FAQ of the FDA. But they don't even have enough data, and they never will have enough data for months or even years to determine the ultimate result of these mid- and long-term effects. So that's the short answer. The longer answer, though, is based also, in addition to that federal protection that we have, state law. Lots of state laws provide opt-outs of vaccines in general or religious freedom protections, either in specific statutes or even in religious free exercise provisions in the various states. So there's a lot of different state law that can come to bear as well, but clearly across the board is this federal law.
Matt, we were just before the break talking about adverse effects, and we have just we just skimmed the surface at best. But the question, you know, follows through on that. Can an employer or college, university, can they be held legally responsible for any injury that comes from a person who they mandate has to have this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the answer is yes. The pharmaceutical companies, going back to the 1980s when Ronald Reagan was president, and he got this bill that Big Pharma promoted. They said we wouldn't do any more vaccines unless we got absolute liability. We'll start, you know, cutting back on some of the research. So members of Congress got lobbied. They passed a bill and gave them carte blanche legal immunity. So you can't sue them. It's a gold mine for Big Pharma because they can produce these vaccines of whatever nature, have a huge audience to sell them to worldwide, and then you can't sue them. They have complete liability, unlike other drugs that they create. But if you're talking about an employer or a school or some entity that says, as a quid pro quo, in order to work here, in order to study here, you must get, you know, these shots, they don't have that immunity, and they need to be very cautious by forcing someone to get these injections, because we know for a fact there are adverse reactions. We know for a fact that, in fact, there are deaths. Now, someone might say, well, we don't know definitively. Look, I worked for a long time. I've done thousands of depositions of all kinds of experts, worked with lots of experts for decades before I you know, focused solely on constitutional law. You know, in looking at causal relationship, whether a certain thing that you are complaining of is caused by a certain event, the best thing that happens is the person's personal history. You know, I was fine up until this particular day, I did this, and right after that I had these kinds of symptoms, and they haven't gone away. That's your first baseline to determine causal relationship. Obviously, you can go in and do a lot more study on that, and sometimes, you know, it may not be that particular situation that caused it. But that is a good indicator. When did these things happen? Like, for example, There's a woman who was working in, she's in her 30s, I believe. She was working in the medical profession. Of course, many of these got the injection early. She was healthy, and she gets the injection. Within 12 hours of getting that injection, she's now already in a hospital intubated because she's having anaphylaxis reaction or something of that nature. She gets airlifted. Her organs start to shut down. Within a week, she's dead. Now, you try to tell me that that has nothing to do with that injection. Yeah. And there's many other stories like that in terms of all of these close proximity of time. And look, it's not just what's reported on the VIRS report, because you can go and read their particular stories, but there's lots of others as well. We have a whole group of things, of story after story after story, real articles from the newspaper that we have listed on our webpage that you can read for yourself. But it's also what is also clearly reported in the documents of Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson in terms of the proximity in which you should be concerned with these particular kinds of conditions developing. Also, in the Pfizer document, as an example, they're concerned about pregnant women, about infertility, about transmitting, listen to this, problems from the vaccinated person to the unvaccinated person via skin contact, via respiratory, and via body fluids. They're also concerned about that transmission in the workplace. In other words, some of the adverse reactions can be transmitted, or there is a concern that they may have the potential to be transmitted under the Pfizer document. And we now are in contact with many doctors who are seeing that phenomenon take place, that someone who's been around an individual who was injected by one of these shots gets something that would be an adverse reaction that otherwise would be indicative to one of the adverse reaction components of this shot itself. So that is a concern Pfizer has been following. It's a concern that the FDA and the CDC knows about it. But have you ever heard about that before? Probably most people have not.
No. So what you're saying is unvaccinated people are in danger from people who have been vaccinated to get their adverse reaction?
That is a concern that has become more apparent. First of all, it's a concern that was originally raised by Pfizer. I've got the document here. It's on page 67 of their report, and they talk about sterility. They talk about bleeding, that women who have not gotten, women who have gotten the injection have the bleeding problems. Some people who've had their menstrual cycle stopped, now it starts. Others have had bleeding. Others have had miscarriages. Then they're around other people who didn't get the injection, and they start having the same kind of symptoms. It's called, the non-technical term is shedding. The Pfizer concern, the word they use is, quote, transmission, close quote. And they talk about that with regards to breastfeeding, with regards to skin contact, with regards to other body fluids, with regards to respiratory, air breathing. And they also talk about that concern in the workplace. So if you're around somebody, which really is kind of odd that this particular memo that you started off with would say they want to vaccinate people, they want to segregate vaccinated people from unvaccinated people. The fact is, if you do that, that may benefit the unvaccinated people so they don't get some shedding or transmission, perhaps, even though if it's a low probability, it's still there. It's a question that Pfizer has been documenting. They're also documenting the adverse reactions on miscarriages, and they're also looking at, and they want to find out anybody who went to full term, and they want to follow the baby for many months after that to see if there's any abnormalities. But beyond that, we are in communication with a lot of doctors who are seeing that phenomenon in their practices.
My. Matt, so in this case where an employer is mandating this or a college university is mandating this, and the employee can give testimony to their great physical health that they have, is there any means for them to establish this right, that if I am harmed by this, you're being held liable? I mean, is there any form document or anything like any precedent to this?
There's not a form document. Obviously, you know, take notes of your health before. If somebody forces you to get it, take notes of your health before, and then document any reactions that you may have. And again, a lot of these things, although they're happening within immediately up to, you know, 2 weeks later, which is the general time frame, usually within maybe even 5 or 7 days, or earlier or just a little bit later, understand it can happen, it can have an adverse effect that happens much later. And that's why we have a real problem, and that's why this is under the EUA. Why? Because we don't have the data for months or years later, because it just hasn't been deployed long enough. And that's what typically happens in the 5 years of testing.
No.
Where they follow people through, and they look at other kinds of things that may develop, and they develop what the adverse reactions are, and then sometimes they pull it, because 93%+ of any vaccine that begins will never finish the testing phase.
There are those, no doubt, listening, Matt, who said, hey, I have no problem, I'm going to roll up my sleeve and get this shot. And there are others who said, no, wait a second, I've got a conscientious objection or a religious exemption. For any advice you might have to employees who said, no, I don't feel right about this, I don't want to take this, by conscience or religious exemption, what advice would you give to them?
Well, everyone has to make their own decision, obviously, but make sure you're fully informed of all the facts. And the problem is that a lot of these facts are being censored. These three nurses that I'm telling you about earlier in the program that developed these uncontrollable shakes that are disabled now, their personal stories that they post on their Facebook is being censored. So, I mean, yeah. Even their personal stories are being censored by Facebook. So make sure you know enough information. We have a lot of information on our website. We can talk about that later. But if you say no, I would raise that objection to your employer. First, we have a letter that talks about, that you can download, you can send, that talks about the emergency use authorization. I would raise that. Number two, I would also raise any religious objection, and I would ask for an accommodation. And then just draw the line in the sand, and, you know, it's your future. You know, and your future is even more important than the next paycheck.
So, Matt, you've got these available on your website?
We do. We have a website, lc.org/vaccine, and that will take you to a particular page that goes through a lot of other information.
Okay, again, that's lc.org/vaccine. And Matt, I hear regularly from individuals who are in rural areas who are elder, we don't have access to the, how can they call Liberty Counsel to get these?
Yeah, they can call 407-875-1776, 407-875-1776, and if they have email, liberty@lc.org.
Okay.
Website, of course, the general website is lc.org,
mm-hmm.
And then this specific one would be lc.org/vaccine.
Now, Matt, things are happening so very quickly on this front here as well, and we kept being told by Dr. Fauci that, you know, we have to get this percent vaccinated so that we develop herd immunity, and that number kept changing. And now, this I just looked at from CNSNews.com today, Dr. Fauci said yesterday, Tuesday, that you said the phrase herd immunity is elusive terminology. He said, I think we should just forget about that. He told Nicole Wallace at MSNBC, asked him to clarify this goal of mass vaccination. So I've been encouraging people of late to really not focus on that elusive terminology. In other words, you know, we don't know about COVID yet if we're going to have herd immunity as what we had talked about before.
Well, you know, they've been moving the ball from the very beginning, and Fauci is the biggest one that you can't trust. And we can talk about that after.
Yeah, let's bring that back. Matt Staver is with us here today, folks. Critical information, his website, lc.org/vaccine. You can get information there. If you don't have access to the web, you may call them, 407-875-1776. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. Can the COVID-19 shot be mandated? That's our topic today. With us is constitutional attorney Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. They do have helpful information on their website, lc.org/vaccine. If you missed the number, we will give you that later. We were talking about Dr. Anthony Fauci and talking about moving the goalpost here. Let's stop talking about herd immunity. But he said the herd immunity threshold is a percentage of what percentage of the population needs to be protected in order to get the blanket of full protection. The fact is, Nicole, we don't know what the number is for SARS-CoV-2. We know that it is for measles because we have been dealing with measles for decades and decades. Matt, I mean, we have seen the flip-flops from this man for so long since all of this came forth. First of all, don't wear a mask. No, you must wear a mask. And now you have to double mask. And then, and whether it be that or this issue, herd immunity, et cetera, et cetera. Many really doubt the words that come forth from Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Well, you know, Dr. Fauci and the CDC really are losing credibility fast. And Fauci is the one who came out with, well, just 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And, you know, he was promoting that. Just all we need is 2 weeks. You know, that was a big lie. He knew it back then. And how can you believe him after that? And he's changed his position over and over again. He's changed his position on how many people would need to get vaccinated before you had herd immunity. Now he's changing his position on what the definition of herd immunity is. The WHO, I believe it was, actually changed its definition of herd immunity. It used to include both natural immunity and vaccination, and then they've now just really essentially focused it on vaccination only so they can push the vaccines. And the CDC, you know, the CDC knows about the concern with regards to pregnancy. And they also know that Pfizer has recently said that it won't have the data on pregnancy, at least until the sometime in July. And yet they come out and say, well, we now recommend that pregnant women get injected. You know, they also know that 99.9% of youth will recover without any problem from COVID. So why are they now, you know, moving forward? Why is Pfizer moving forward with wanting to shoot up all the youth with these experimental drugs?
12 to 15-year-olds will start very soon, and then younger after that.
Yeah, and we know that this is very, I mean, you got less than 99.9% of the youth that get it. They'll recover with no problem. So why do you want to subject them to risk? We now know 15-year-olds who have gotten this injection have died recently. And those reports are coming. These are healthy young people. You don't just have a young person just die at age 15 for no apparent reason, without a, you know, some other kind of accident or intervening event. These people are just dying, and it's because they've just recently gotten the vaccine. In terms of the causal time frame, they got the vaccine, they died. Before that, they were healthy. They're young. I mean, this makes no sense.
Sure.
You know, we actually have an email that we quoted Dr. Jancy Kuhn Lindsey, biochemistry doctorate in molecular biology from the University of Texas, over 30 years of experience in this particular field of toxicology and mechanistic biology focused on vaccines. She issued a letter and a public statement to the CDC when they were looking at what to do with Johnson & Johnson on April the 23rd. She raised three concerns. She said these concerns were known. In fact, if you go to the Pfizer documents, they're known. One, that these she's calling for an immediate halt to the injections. Why? Because, one, she raises concerns about infertility and reproduction. She says there's a credible reason to believe based upon the research and the data, that this will result in impaired fertility and impaired reproductive and gestational outcomes. Number two, she says blood clots. All of the gene therapies are causing blood clotting. We're seeing a rise in blood clotting death, including in healthy adults with no secondary comorbidities. And three, immune escape. She says that by immune escape, what she's talking about is that there's strong evidence for immune escape driving the creation of more lethal mutants that are both newly infecting the younger age demographic and causing more COVID-related deaths across the population than would have occurred without intervention. And this is what she says, concludes it. That is, there is evidence that the vaccines are making the pandemic worse.
Mm-hmm.
And when what are you seeing? You're looking at some of these nations around the world, like Seychelles is one recently. It has a different vaccine than what we're using here. But they say that one has an 86% efficacy, is what some people are saying. Now what they're seeing is a spike in COVID. A third of those people have had both injections, and another group of them have had one of the two injections, and then there's another group of that has had no injections. Why are these people getting these variants that have had why are they getting sick that had these injections? And there's a lot of medical out there that's now raising the concern that while it may help in immunity to a particular kind of slice of the COVID, it will make you more susceptible to variants. And that's exactly what Dr. Lindsay was saying, that there is evidence that the vaccines are making the pandemic worse.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. Folks, critical information. Matt, I want to bring another component of this up, and it's under the guise of these vaccination passports. I mean, our neighbors to the north, Canada, are talking about this. We see what's going on with Israel, the UK, and so forth. But even internally here in the United States, we are seeing there are places that say, no, you may not come in and visit your grandparents, adult children or grandchildren, or visitation policies, or into the hospital. Unless you have been fully vaccinated, you may not enter to see your loved ones. I mean, this is happening now. You just had a victory take place, and I'll have you tell us about that. But this scenario is popping up all over the country.
Yeah, and before I do that, I mean, you look, I have friends in Israel, a lot of friends in Israel, and some of them have gotten the injections. Others are very concerned. But one of my friends who was visiting here in the United States showed me his QR code on his cell phone, and it's his QR code. So you have to show it wherever you go, and that's like your QR code on your cell phone when you go to the TSA gate to get on your airplane, and that is your vaccine passport. And he also has a tracing and tracking app that tracks every movement of him and anybody who is around him. That app then will warn him if there's anybody around in his vicinity that has COVID or has been in contact with COVID. It'll then warn him to go into quarantine, and if he moves outside of that little bubble around his home, he gets a warning to get back in. If he doesn't, the authorities will be alerted to that situation. I mean, that's happening in the nation of Israel. This is not China, although it's happening in China, but it's in the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, in fact, what's being tested or experimented here, or certainly hoped by some to go down the same road in the United States. New York is working with their experimental Excelsior program with the vaccine passport, the tracing and tracking. There's other states that are doing the same thing. And this is something that predated COVID. COVID is just accelerating it, and it will be in existence long after COVID. And this is not just a conservative, you know, white Republican Trump supporter that the media wants you to believe it to be. Dr. Naomi Wolf, who's a Rhodes Scholar, an advisor to former President Bill Clinton, Al Gore. She runs a tech company. She's a CEO, and she is raising the concern to the highest level about these vaccine passports because she knows how this data works. She says it's not about the virus, it's about data, and if we ultimately go down this road, we lose our freedom and we'll never get it back.
So what about this visitation aspect?
Well, the visitation, we have two Romanian brothers. They're both deacons in their church, and their mom is admitted to Beaumont Hospital in Troy, Michigan. She's elderly, and she's dying, but not from COVID. So she does not have COVID, and they told the brothers, you have to get both injections and then wait 2 weeks before you can come and visit your mom.
Really?
Now, the Pfizer says 2 to 3 weeks. The Moderna says 4 weeks in between the first and second injection. And then they have to wait 2 weeks after they get the second injection before they can visit their mom. So if they're doing the Pfizer injection and doing it in the 2 week interval, they can't see their mom for, you know, who knows, for at least, you know, a month, and Moderna at least 6 weeks. Well, by then, you know, she could die any moment. So we sent a demand letter on Monday afternoon, demanded that they respond by 5 p.m. yesterday, and they finally did respond, and they said, okay, they're reversing their position. We pointed out the federal law. We pointed out other things. We pointed out the religious liberty. Look, we also said, hey, look, these people are willing to take whatever personal protective devices you want into the room. They're willing to submit to a PCR test or any other test to show that they're not COVID positive, their mom's not COVID positive, but it didn't make any difference. When they were asking that permission, they got turned down time and time again until we got involved and threatened a lawsuit, and they finally relented.
And people are facing this. Matt, they're facing issues pertaining to, people are receiving notes from their employer. What does a person do? Can they reach out to Liberty Counsel in these kind of mandate situations, or what action can they take?
Yeah, they need to reach out to Liberty Counsel. You can go to lc.org, and there's our phone number and our email, and you can fill out a request for assistance there as well. We'll contact you. So lc.org is our general webpage, lc.org/vaccine, mm-hmm. a specific page for this information. And our phone number, as you mentioned earlier, Jim, is 407-875-1776.
Matt, should people tell their employer, I will not take it, or I don't want to take it?
Well, that depends upon, you know, your situation. But if it were me, I would say I will not take it.
Okay.
And I request an accommodation. And here's why I won't want to take it. And, you know, you can give them other specific reasons regarding the concerns, the unknowns, the knowns, including religious objections and anything else, and then ask for an accommodation.
Friends, we're not going to have time for long stories today, but if you have a quick question you want to ask Matt, go right to your point and call us at 800-733-9829. That's our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829 for today's program. Matt Staver is with us from Liberty Counsel. They've got a lot of forms that are available on the website lc.org/vaccine. Or if you don't have access to the web, you may call them, say, I'd like, you know, that information Matt was talking about, or send me that form. That number is 407-875-1776. That's 407-875-1776. Now, keep in mind as well, right now, the commander-in-chief is considering even requiring troops to get the COVID shot as well. That's another dynamic to it. Our lines are packed. Let's go to Terry in Milwaukee. You're on the air, Terry.
How much proof do you have that vaccinated people are infecting non-vaccinated people? And would you let a vaccinated family member come and stay with you if you did not have the vaccine? And you know when they're coming in,
okay,
they're not showing positive testing for COVID.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Matt, your response.
Would I let a vaccinated family member come and stay with me if I was not vaccinated? Is that the question?
Yes.
Well,
and also, how much proof do you have that a vaccinated can infect a non-vaccinated person?
There's nothing definitive on that yet. Here's what we do know. And I can just tell you, you know, you have to make that decision. With a family member, I wouldn't reject a family member under any circumstances. But you have to be careful about those who are of childbearing age, because that creates a whole different level of situation. And if you're not of childbearing age, then that takes out one of the risk factors. But let me finish that when I come back.
Okay, Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. Again, folks, we're only going to have time for very quick questions. We'll take more of your calls here in our final segment as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. My friend Alex Newman recently interviewed Dr. Peter McCullough, and we played the audio clips on radio and TV. This medical doctor is warning that the vaccine everyone's taking is for the original virus, not the other 14 strains now running around the world. He also advised that normally when a vaccine has the deaths connected to it that COVID has, it's pulled. In fact, we are now, as a broadcast date here today, at over 3,500 deaths, and that's on the extremely underreported side. But did you know that if you have 50 deaths in a normal product of vaccines, those are pulled off the market? In 1976, the swine flu vaccine was pulled after just 25 deaths. Most of these deaths are occurring within day one, two, or three. He also reports that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was pulled off the market due to blood clotting, but that the blood clots caused by the other vaccines are even higher. Stay tuned.
Matt Staver with us here today from Liberty Council. Matt, we're going to have you finish up that response here to the individual here that called just before the break.
Yeah, quickly, here's the concern. We do know that Pfizer has this concern because it's in their documents about this transmission, and some people refer to it as shedding. We also know from a number of doctors who are seeing patients in their office and reviewing other things that this is something that is happening in their practice. So how far that is, we don't know yet. It's unknown, and this is one of the many unknowns. However, the concern is definitely there, and it's definitely real.
Let's go to Connie in Hales Corners. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. You stated that people might be able to sue a company, a private company, forcing them to get vaccinated. What about a person? Are they able to sue a store or a private company for forcing them to wear masks?
Well, you know, no, not necessarily on the mask. There's been a number of cases filed on masks around the country, and most of those have not been successful, like we've been successful in the church litigation. But it's kind of like, you know, shoes and shirts, you know. You can't enter without shoes or shirts. You know, a store can simply say, yeah, you can't enter unless you have a mask. However, one of the things they have to abide by is the Americans with Disabilities Act. And you can't exclude somebody because of a certain disability. And if somebody says, I've got a medical condition, for them to start to push back or to question that, that puts them on real shaky ground to be potentially sued.
Thank you, Connie.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. And, Matt, we also know that, I mean, the stories are abounding of people who have been booted from flights. They can't continue flights. They've been banned.
Yeah, because those are horrible stories,
yes,
especially with the parents with the little children.
Yeah, the parents with little children. But I think of one of our former Crosstalk guests, or regular Crosstalk guest, who just when he did a return flight after speaking at a church, said, you're barred from doing this, Mike Gendron, and indicating that violating their mask policy, but he wore it, but he took it off in order to take drinks on the plane. And somebody else, a story just abounding too, somebody else barred from flying because they didn't put their mask on in between bites. You know, take a bite, put the mask on, chew it up, then take the mask off to take the next bite.
Yeah, I know. It's
crazy.
Ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then, you know, when you get up to leave, they'll say, make sure you maintain 6-foot distancing, but you've just been beside your neighbor for, you know, however long
crazy.
On the flight.
Bill in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up something about the blood supply being contaminated from this vaccine. You know, you go get an operation and a blood transfusion. Nobody's talking about what happened with HIV. That's how the blood supply got contaminated with HIV.
Well, we do know, for example, that, you know, one of the side effects of the vaccine for some people and is a rash. And we know that mothers have transmitted that rash to their babies, either through breastfeeding or through physical contact. And we've seen babies that have had the same rash, but they haven't had any of the injection. And so we do know that's one particular area. So if it's being transmitted in body fluids, and if you know Pfizer is concerned about different body fluids, they're concerned about you know sexual relations and so forth, and other kinds of body fluids as well as skin and air, then you're also going to have to be concerned about the blood.
Thank you for the call, Bill. Heather is next in Spring Hill, Kansas. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, I'm a dental hygienist, and my I have informed my employer that it can't be mandated under emergency use authorization. I'm wondering your thoughts on it being tied to renewing my license. I'm thinking once it's FDA approved, the state that I live in may not actually renew my license if I don't have the vaccination. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think if that ever happened, just make sure you give us a call, because that would be something that we would definitely want to litigate or look into, certainly, because they should not be able to hold your license hostage to this or any other injection, shot, vaccine, or drug.
Mm-hmm.
Pure and simple. They just can't do that. And depending upon what state you live in, you may have also, even if it gets, you know, FDA fully licensed, which is what Pfizer is just now applying for, it may say it take another 6 months, which is still extraordinarily fast, then you don't have the EUA protection. You're going to have to then start to rely upon other state laws and so forth, and you know, we'll certainly help you out at that level. Hopefully it never comes to pass. I doubt if it will, but if it does, that's a battle worth fighting.
Yeah, and we'll be giving the contact info here in just a bit. Mark is next in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Jim. My company has not told us that they are demanding us to take this vaccine shot at this point. But they did have us sign their dispute resolution policy that pretty much says that we don't have a whole lot of right to sue them based on disputes. Have you ever heard of anything like that before? Mm. And what are my options here?
Yeah, I haven't heard of employers just having that as a general matter with regards to disputes, and I don't know how far without reading it goes, but it just doesn't seem like an employer can force you to do something that can hurt your health like that as a requirement of working, and then you actually take it, and God forbid you do have an injury or a permanent injury, even death, that they're just scot-free because they wanted you to sign some, you know, general dispute resolution clause.
Thank you for the call. We're going to try and squeeze one last call in from Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, concerning Fauci, in police work, whenever you're interrogating somebody and they change their story four or five times, not only do you realize that you have a liar, but you also have a very guilty person on your hands. That's all I'm to say. Thank you.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, very well said.
Interesting observation. Matt, we're down to just less than a minute here. We've talked about a lot of things. What do you want to leave with our listeners?
Well, look, you know, on the vaccine passport, so this mandatory passport, we started messaging on this. There's now 45 bills in 21 states. Florida just became the recent state to say no vaccine passports for public and private. So we can push back. We have to push back. We cannot accept this as the new normal. So let me just give our website again for more people to get information, lc.org/vaccine, lc.org/vaccine. And if you have questions, just feel free to call us.
And by the way, with the illustration we gave from Cleveland Cliffs at the beginning of the program, we understand that there are individuals in northern Minnesota that are gathering together this Friday night, May 7th, a meeting at the Woodlands Bible Church in Eveleth, Minnesota, 6 o'clock p.m., where they're going to be discussing this issue, and people are going to come together not only for information, but to pray about it as well. So that's in Eveleth, Minnesota, this Friday evening at 6 p.m. Matt, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
And Matt Staver from Liberty Council, again, lc.org/vaccine. You can drop them an email, liberty@lc.org, or to get through. And if you need the documents you don't have access to online, they're number 407-875-1776. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.